excited. Well, you'll know for a number of weeks now that we've been working our way through the book of Proverbs in different ways, and we've come a long way in many respects. We started looking off in the book of Proverbs, and it was described to us as a grace gift, in the sense that as we go through the book of Proverbs, it gives us the hindsight of what happens when we do things that are right. It also gives us the hindsight of what happens when we do things that are wrong. And if we're honest, all of us would say, yes, there have been times in my life that I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish I hadn't have done that. I wish I hadn't have behaved in that kind of way. And the book of Proverbs is all about that. As we look through the book of Proverbs, it explains to us that if you say this, this will happen. If you do this, that will happen. And imagine what it would be like if we really got to grips with the book of Proverbs, that we took it seriously, more than just a book of witty sayings, which is what it is at times. It's more than that. We also looked at the fact that when you compare the life of Jesus, the life of Jesus is almost like the book of Proverbs come to life. It's interesting how in the early narratives of the Gospels, it talks about Jesus growing in wisdom and stature as the boy Jesus, not as the grown man at that stage, but it talks about the boy Jesus growing in wisdom and in stature. We also looked at the law, the Old Testament, in the light of Proverbs, in the sense of the Ten Commandments. And if you look through the book of Proverbs, it's almost like a commentary or a how-to-do version of the law, in the sense of, you know, shalt not kill, don't commit murder, and love the Lord your God, and all that kind of thing that's in the Ten Commandments. We've also looked at the book of Proverbs as a book of life. A few weeks ago, we looked at hell, and that was a bit uncomfortable, wasn't it? If we admit to ourselves, that doesn't sound a very pleasant sort of thing to talk about. But in the book of Proverbs, it talks about he who is wise loves his own soul. And we also looked in the context of if you're really wise, you'll want to do what God wants. The other Wednesday, we looked at the Lord's Prayer in the context of the book of Proverbs, and how the book of Proverbs talks about forgiveness and the relationships that we can have and enjoy through forgiveness, and lots of other things like that. When you look at it in the light of the Lord's Prayer, it's interesting how the Lord's Prayer just slots in quite nicely to the book of Proverbs. But today, what I want us to look at is blessing in the book of Proverbs. What is it to be blessed? Because we kind of live in a day and age where that word blessing is a little bit sort of fluffy and cuddly, isn't it? You often hear celebrities go, oh, bless. And I think, well, that really winds me up, actually, when I hear people on the telly and they use this little phrase of, oh, shame, oh, bless. You know, I think that's got absolutely nothing to do with what it's really all about. And we live in this day and age in a culture where the word blessing has lost its kind of strength and vitality. And instead of being almost like a tonic to do us good, it's become more of a sort of fluffy, cuddly, oh, bless you, and all this kind of stuff. And we've actually moved away from what the Old Testament counts of what blessing is all about in the New Testament and things like that. So I want us to sort of have a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation of what the word blessing is today, as seen through the book of Proverbs. But before we do that, I'd like you to turn to the New Testament, and our foundation for the book of Proverbs this morning will come from Matthew chapter 5. We'll just be reading this passage. We won't be looking at it in great detail, but you'll see where we'll be going with this, and how this passage is actually a fulfillment of the book of Proverbs. We must understand that whenever we interpret Scripture, Scripture must be always interpreted with Scripture. Scripture must never be interpreted through our own fancy imagination, but through Scripture itself. And Jesus speaking to the multitudes here, Matthew 5 verses 2. Oh, we'll start at verses 1 actually, and we'll go down to verse 12 of Matthew chapter 5. And there it is, up on the board there for us. And when he saw the multitudes, he went up to the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And opening his mouth, he began to teach them. I always like that in Scripture when it says, and he opened his mouth. Because to us, as we read that, we sort of gloss over it and we don't pay any attention. But I always think it's really funny in our day and age, and he opened his mouth. And I think, well, if I'm going to say something, I'm going to open my mouth. But it's written there in the context of, listen up. He's saying something important. He's not just about to speak, but he's about to impart something very special. So if you read it in that context, verse 2, and listen up, because he's about to say something very important here. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." There's lots of blessings in there. And you go through the New Testament, this word to bless and to be blessed, and words around that are full of it. It's very, very interesting. But I want to put this in the context of the Old Testament this morning. There is nothing light and fluffy about the word blessed. And I want us to really get to grips with that this morning, because hopefully by the time we come to our end of our session this morning, you'll begin to think to yourself, "I'm just so loved and cherished by God." You see, very often when we hear people on the telly, or you know, it's very easy in our culture to get caught up in it and begin to say these things to ourselves, you know, "Oh, bless you." It's just such a weak and fluffy and sort of, it's got no substance to it. But when we look at the scripture and how that applies to us, we suddenly realize how treasured we are by God. And that God doesn't just say, "Oh, bless." He's not sort of all meek and mild and wimpy and lacks character and muscle and strength. You know, when it says in the scripture, "May the Lord bless you and keep you." It's not this sort of soppy mentality. It's, "The Lord strengthen and invigorate you and keep you." I like that kind of blessing. You see, there's no such thing as the chocolate Christian in the sense of us just becoming to melt in the culture and the way in which we live. So let's just build a little bit of a picture about what the Old Testament says about blessing. It's interesting that in the Old Testament itself, there are over 400 verses that contain the word blessing, whether it's through Proverbs, through the Psalms, right from its origins in the Garden of Eden, or whether it's Abram being blessed. It's a very strong and rewarding and a beautiful word. There are several different words to describe bless or blessing. One of them in the Old Testament, words for bless, is Barak. And it's got nothing to do with Barack Obama. I'll just sort of point that out to you. And it means to kneel. To kneel. And you sort of think, you know, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." What on earth does that mean? So, you know, if I was to kneel, that looks kind of a little bit odd, doesn't it? You know, "I bless the Lord by kneeling." But what do people do when they kneel before the Queen? They expect to receive something. They honor her. And why shouldn't we bless the Lord in the sense of we come and we kneel before him because he's so worthy? So we don't just say, "Oh, bless the Lord." There's this sense of respect and dignity and purpose in it all. And if you go to Buckingham Palace and you're fortunate enough to get a knighthood and you have the sword put on you, there's this whole sense of impartation. Since we come to the Lord and he blesses us, there's this sense of imparting something of him to us. You see, it's for those who have been blessed by the Queen to receive a knighthood or something like that. I'll leave that up to you if you're into that kind of thing or not. But for illustration's sake, before I dig myself a hole and dip a spear into the baptistry here, the whole sense of receiving a knighthood is that the Queen imparts something of herself, something of who she is upon that person. And unless they're disabled with wooden legs and they can't kneel down, how many of them actually kneel down for it? It's interesting, isn't it? As she imparts something. And as we bless the Lord and he blesses us, something of his nature and character comes to us, far greater than the Queen can impart. You see, as somebody has been given a knighthood, I don't know, what do women get? Do they get a damehood or something? Is that right? Do they get made dame? What do women get? Do they get knighthoods? I'm not into this kind of thing. But something of the Queen lasts with the memory and the stature of that person. I'll use Sir Cliff Richard or Terry Wogan as an illustration. Not very good illustrations, really, I must confess. But something of their experience of visiting with the Queen carries with them for the rest of their lives. You know, when we stand in the presence of the Lord, we're blessed by him. Something of the impartation of his character and nature carries on with us for the rest of our lives. So there's nothing fluffy or woolly about that, is there? And yet in our culture, we don't really understand or get to grips with this word to bless or to be blessed. It's become very soppy and fluffy and like sugary, and I don't like it. Are you with me so far? Hello? You're shivering at the back row there, are you? But you see, when it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, I'm putting myself in the position where I am able to impart of his nature and character into my life. Are you blessed by the Lord this morning? If you are, I tell you what, you wouldn't wait to get here and worship him, because he's so worthy. Something about his nature and character gets into your life and carries on through the rest of your days. It's interesting, you meet people who have had knighthoods and you have to call them sir or this and that. You know, when you come into Christ's kingdom, you're called Christian. What an awesome title. Believer. Son of God. Child of God. That is awesome. We are blessed. Can you begin to understand the sense of vitality and strength and impartation that God gives us? Blessed are the merciful. This isn't some sort of soppy religious blessing. This is something of the nature and the impartation of God upon our lives. That as we live as we should do, something of his nature and character goes with us for the rest of our days. That is astonishing, isn't it? Hello? I say what, I got so excited about this during the week, I think I lost a few more hairs. If you come bald next week, I'll know that you've lost a few hairs thinking about this and how good it is. But you have to put yourself in that position where you're able to receive something from God. You have to humble yourself. And sometimes you see, certainly in Old Testament times, if Tim was King David and I came down to pay my respects, I would bless him. But by kneeling and bowing my head, it's a place of vulnerability. He could just chop my head off. But I'm willing to submit my life to him and say, you are so worthy. I will put myself in that place of vulnerability. I will put my whole life into your hands. See, again, there is nothing light and fluffy and woolly about this word blessing. It is so strong. It is so beautiful. It is so wonderful that as we lay our lives down to God, imagine what he could do with them. Hello? It's exciting, this stuff, isn't it? Aren't you glad that you're a Christian? Amen. Yes. I tell you what, I'm so excited about being a Christian, I don't know how to contain it sometimes. And sometimes I don't sleep at night, not because I'm worried about things, but I think, hey, this is just so awesome. This is so awesome. You know, and I'll look at me watch and it's 2:30 in the morning. I think, oh, I'd better go to bed now. I'm in bed. Well, let's try and switch off. I can't switch off. This is just so awesome. The word in the Old Testament also means to speak well of. It means to be happy, but not just sort of merry and joyful and pleasant, but this sense of deep contentment that I'm satisfied. Imagine what it would be like if you spoke to your children or your grandchildren and you said, what do you want for Christmas? Oh, I've got everything I need in life. Wouldn't that be astonishing? But as Christians, as we live in this consumerism that we're bombarded all the time, as if we're not satisfied. You know, you've got a name on your forehead, and it's Jesus. He placed that upon your life the day you put your trust in him. I tell you what, that is just such an awesome, heavy blessing to carry, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful? And yet so very often we're afraid to mention the name of Jesus because people might be offended. Why? Why? We have to ask ourselves. He's the one who went to the cross for us, and we think, well, we better not talk about Jesus. We might offend him. Might offend people. Or I'm embarrassed. Don't like to talk about Jesus because people might think I'm a bit odd. Well, guess what? People think we're odd anyway, whether you're a Christian or not. Everybody's odd in the United Kingdom. If we can't bear the name of Jesus, it means we can't even bear our own name. It's interesting, isn't it? Speak well of, to be deeply contented. And just in the Old Testament alone, this goes on for over 400 times. This word to bless means to endure with power for success. So very often, sometimes people get caught up and they think blessing is a sign of prosperity. Well, it can be, but prosperity in the Old Testament, the word there is to selek, which means to flourish. And as we're blessed, God might bless you materially, and that's great, but there's this whole sense of whatever position you are put in life, you're able to flourish. Right now, we're in a desert, aren't we, in the United Kingdom? Not with sand. Not necessarily with scorching heat, but it might as well be. But as Christians, we can still flourish. We can maintain everything that God has given us. And that's what blessing is all about. Psalm 5 verse 12 says this, Lord, you bless the righteous. Blessing is part of a relationship in the Old Testament. So whenever the word blessing is mentioned in the Old Testament, it is always part of a relationship. It's never void from a relationship. So it's never this casual word that's thrown off in its society of, oh, bless. It never comes out like that. Whenever the word in the Old Testament is used of blessed or blessing, it's always on the strength of a relationship somewhere. It's never without it. Can you begin to see the picture that when Jesus starts saying, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the meek, blessed, blessed, blessed. It's not this casual religious soppy phrase that's put out, but it's on the strength of a relationship with God. Wow. Hello? I carry a ring on my finger, and that is an outward sign of a strength of a relationship that I have. God's blessing is exactly the same on your life, that he has blessed you on the strength of a relationship. Sometimes when we feel that we're having a hard time in life, we just need to go back to scripture and where it says over and over again, blessed are the righteous, blessed are this. So the word blessing shows this active, obedient relationship with God. Whether it's to kneel in allegiance, to submission and servants and servanthood, it's an outward sign of an inward blessing. The New Testament often speaks about blessing as well in different ways, but it's always in this context of relationship. And to put into perspective the Beatitudes, it's always in the context of relationship. It's a demonstration of that relationship. Blessing is always used in a positive way, never a negative way. So let's see what the book of Proverbs has to say about blessing. We'll see how many we'll get through this morning. There's not 400 in the book of Proverbs, you'll be pleased to know. There's only 10, but we'll see how we go through. Proverbs 3 verse 13 says this, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom. I guess there's many wives here who sort of pray for that verse quite daily, don't they? How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and gains understanding. And again, that word for blessed there means to be deeply contented. Deeply contented. Your translation might say happy. It's more than just happy. It's more than just a one-off event. It's this sense of sustainable happiness. But it talks about the man who has found wisdom. You see, wisdom doesn't come to us naturally. If we were still in the Garden of Eden, it probably would. But since we've left the Garden of Eden, guess what? Wisdom doesn't come to us naturally. And I was interested to read The Echo a couple of weeks ago, and there was this man going out with a metal detector over Cleve Hill. You might have read it, and he found a hand grenade. Have you read that story? And he put it in an ice cream tub with a few bullets that he found, and by his wisdom, he took it into the police station, and they didn't take it too seriously at first, and they realized what it was, and they evacuated the whole police station. The next day on The Echo, it said, anybody finding explosives, please don't bring them along to the police station. So that's interesting. But there's this sense of we have to go out and find it. But it also says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Notice that word blessed again. This isn't a whole bless. It's this sense of based on the strength of a relationship with God, because whenever that word is used in the Old Testament, it's always used as part of a relationship with God, never void of it. So as we're blessed that, as we're part of that relationship with God, guess what? We will find wisdom. And yet we live in a day and age where people are going out looking for wisdom like as if they got metal detectors. You know, that's just sort of what we're picking up here. We're trying to find a bit of something over here, and no, that's just an old rusty old tin. It's not hit and miss. There's this sense that as we're rooted and we're grounded in our relationships with God, guess what? It will happen. It will come. And it won't be a hand grenade that you find. It'll be something more explosive than that. It'll be a work of God in your life. But that's why it says, how blessed is the man who finds wisdom. And it goes on, it says, who gains understanding. Because being wise is all right, but how do you apply wisdom? And the word for understanding there in the Hebrew is actually intelligence. So it's not just knowing what to do, but it's how you actually apply it with what you know what to do, if that makes sense. But in the relationship of blessing, guess what? You'll be able to make wise choices and intelligent decisions. Now, I can put my hand up this morning and I say, yes, I need a bit of that. And I think if you were honest, you would probably put your hand up and say, well, yes, there's some difficult things in my life this week that I've got to sort out. I don't just need wisdom, but I need a lot more intelligence. Guess what? How blessed is the man or woman who finds these things. But it's always found in the context of a relationship with God. So the first thing there is the right direction for wisdom and blessing. Are you looking in the right direction? The second one is Proverbs 5, verse 18. It says this: let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now, for many people, they take that in the context of somebody who's just been married and they're enjoying the wife of their youth. But it's in this context of actually think about the one who you married and you're with at the moment. And rejoice and be satisfied with what you have. Again, it's in this context of a relationship with God. The word there is blessed as in bended knee, to receive something. But to rejoice, to be content, to be satisfied with. Are you content and satisfied with all the things that God's given you? Not just spiritually, but physically and mentally all around you. Do you have that sense of contentment? I have enough. I am pleased with what I have. Now, Iris is reminding me quite frequently, and don't tell her this, and she probably listened to it in the creche actually on the loudspeaker, but since my up, I've been putting on a bit of weight. In fact, I've put on 2.5 stone, and that's pretty good, isn't it? Who said my goodness? But what I'm realizing is that my belly is starting to move south. So one day I might have to come with a Tesco shopping trolley just to hold myself up a little bit. I don't think it will come to that. But there's this whole sense of as we age, we can just become accustomed to each other. And we forget what attracted to us to each other. And as time goes on, we forget the one we first loved. And the Bible reminds us, blessed are you who are still satisfied with what you've got now. It's interesting, isn't it? But it's all to do with this context of a relationship with God. It's kind of sort of uncomfortable, really, isn't it? Because it's like the scripture just sort of giving you a little poke. And I'll use you as an illustration because Tom's over there and I can't get to him without getting any feedback. So you're in the hot seat today. But it's almost God's word saying, hey, Tim, are you still satisfied with what I've given you? Then you're blessed. You're contented. How extraordinary is that? In this day and age of consumerism where people just aren't satisfied with what they've got, who they've got, or how they've got it, blessing comes from purity. The third one on the list, we could almost have top of the pops here, couldn't we? Sort of the top 10. Proverbs 8, verse 32 says this: now therefore, my son, listen to me. If this was in the New Testament, it would probably say, and he opened his mouth. It's one of those kind of things. Now therefore, my son, listen to me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Almost sounds a little bit like the Beatitudes, doesn't it? Blessed are those, blessed are those. And it's meant to be like that. If I hadn't got married, then our garden would look really rough. I'm not a gardener. In fact, it's probably taken about 2 years for me to repair the fence, if I'm honest. And I only repaired it 2 weeks ago because it blew down. I don't keep my garden. I ignore it. It doesn't interest me. And I'll tell you what, the weeds to me don't look any different to anything else in the garden. I know how to cut the grass and put a fence up and that's it. But fortunately, Iris keeps the garden. She knows what she's doing. I had to bury a fish that died this week. And I'll tell you what, the ground was really hard with my little shovel. You'll see where I'm going with this. And as I was digging out, I was digging up all these little, well, apparently they're bulbs, and I shouldn't have been digging in that area, so I patted it all down. But I don't keep the garden. I ignore it. And there's this very real sense, the word here in for Hebrew in the keep, for keep, is a gardening term. It's like keeping a garden. You have to nurture it. You have to weed it. You have to look after it. But it says, blessed are those who keep my ways. I need to learn how to be a gardener of my own life. Otherwise, the weeds crop up. Otherwise, I can pull out things that God has put in there and I don't recognize it. Need wisdom for those things. What about your life? You may be an absolutely fantastic gardener, but how do you keep the weeds down in your own life? See how practical the book of Proverbs is. There's nothing wimpy and sugary about this when it says, blessed are they that keep my ways. Isn't it nice when you drive past a beautiful garden and you say, hey, look at that. That looks attractive. What about your life? As people go past your life, do they say in their hearts, that person is so attractive? Not because they're good looking like me and they've got nice locks of hair and big muscles and stuff, but there's just something about the person. when they look at you and your character and your nature, they go past and say, they've kept God's garden good in their heart. Hello? It's not rocket science, is it? If it was, I wouldn't be able to understand it. Blessing through obedience. Blessed are those who listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Number four, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorpost. You see the level here. First of all, he says blessed, and that's again contented kind of word there. Who listens to me? My dad used to say to me, now you listen to me. And I think, right, switch off. You're being like that? Or your mother says, now listen to this. Or the teacher says, listen to this. And what do? We just switch off. And there's a clarion call from Scripture here, and it says, blessed, contented are those who listen to God. That's the first thing. And the word in the Hebrew there for listening is almost like a rabbit or some animal who depends upon its life and its ability to be able to hear. And you know, our life depends on what we hear from God. It says, watching daily at my gates. And where it says daily there in the Hebrew, the word is printed twice. So it says, watching daily at my gates. Which is a little bit odd, but it's there on purpose because it's to emphasize the fact that when you put a double word in Hebrew, it means continually. You see, we don't just turn up at God's gates and say, well, I've watched, I've listened, I've waited, I'm off now. It's this sense of every day. So where it says daily in the Hebrew text, it's this whole sense of every day. This is where I'm going to be found. Where are you going to be found tomorrow morning? Uncomfortable, isn't it? But he says here, listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts, waiting for the master's return. Where are you to be found? So there's blessing through commitment and availability. Are you available to God? Not just to do things for him, but just to be in his presence. To put things down and say, yes, Lord, today I'm going to be available just to spend time in your presence. Usually if somebody comes to our door, unless they're a salesman, they come to our doorpost and they wait. They wait for a response. And when the door's open, we usually invite them in, depending on who it is. But there's this whole sense of the person here in Proverbs has gone to God's doorpost, waiting at his door, expecting to go in. Isn't that wonderful? What about you this week? Will you be waiting at the gates continually, daily? But even more, does your relationship with the Lord grow to this point of waiting at his door? Availability. Proverbs 10 verse 7. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot, and we'll have to go through this a little bit quicker. But there's this whole sense of the memory of the righteous being blessed or to be spoken of well. But the name of the wicked will rot. There's this whole sense of what are we leaving behind for the next generation? What will they remember you by? Will they remember you by the things that you did or because of the way you talked about God? And this is what it means here. For the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. And that's not very pleasant in the Hebrew for rot there, because it means like manure. So you won't hang around that verse too much because it's a bit of muck. But there is this sense of blessings result in a right way because of him. See, sometimes we struggle to be a witness for God when in reality it's just walking out the sustainable blessings of God in our lives. Proverbs 16 verse 20 says this, he who gives attention to the word or to wise instruction will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Sometimes we just get into the word and get a hold of it. And there it says, we'll find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. And again, this word bless here, as in trusting the Lord, is a relationship with the Lord. Iris is an absolute brilliant navigator. Once we drove right across Hungary, that's not Hungary as in down here, but the country of Hungary, right through the night. And it was the days before sat navs, and she was sat on my left, yes, that's right, reading the map with a little torch, and she navigated right across. And I didn't bat an eyelid. I wonder why that was. Because I trusted her. I was in relationship with her. And guess what? We got home. We didn't get lost. And I'm so blessed. But blessing comes out of trust. And trust sort of builds this sense of we got home. And as we trust God, as we reach out and bless him, guess what? You will get home. Not necessarily physically home, but this whole sense of future home. But what it means here when it says he who gives attention to the Lord will find good and be blessed, there's this whole sense of diligence. Diligence and how we're diligent to do things when we have visitors. We might do a bit of dusting, we might get the Hoover out, we might do all sorts of things and be diligent. Or if we've got an exam coming up, we might be diligent about that. But how diligent are we with the word of God? Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, the righteous man who walks in integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. And when it says sons there in the Hebrew, it's not necessarily his own physical sons, but the sons of the nation. Proverbs 20 verse 21 says, an inheritance gained quickly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. Talking about pure motives and no quick fixes for blessings. Proverbs 22 verse 9 says this, he who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. It's interesting, in the Hebrew word there for generous, it means to have a generous eye. I think the King James Version talks about a generous outlook, but there's this whole sense of I'll be blessed because I'm always looking out for the benefit of others. Thoughtfulness and generosity. And the last one, Proverbs 28 verse 14 says, how blessed is the man who fears always, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. How blessed is the man who fears always. That's a little bit odd, isn't it, in our day and age to try and fit that into our culture. But the word for fear there is a healthy respect of. So it's this whole sense of the man who fears always for all of his life. Whether he's at work, whether he's alone and nobody's looking, whether he's at home or whether he's in church or whether he's at work or wherever he is in his neighborhood, there's this sense of always fearing God in whatever he does. But he'll be blessed for it. But he hardens his heart, falls into calamity. So we started off this morning by looking at Matthew 5, and it said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they kingdom have, blessed who mourn, blessed are the gentle. A whole load of blessings, and hopefully we've come to the end of today where we see the correlationship between the word blessing and you and I and God, and the word blessing in between us. Beatitudes fit into Proverbs' attitudes. We see how people lived and how they died through their relationship with God. Let's ask some questions as we finish. Are you a blessing to others? Are you being blessed? Is there a visible evidence of your relationship with God? We need to think about these things. You see, the word blessing in Scripture is never used casually. It's always used in the context of a relationship, and it's come to be quite a sacred word in the Bible. So as we think about this word blessing in our land and in our culture, what does it mean afresh to you? As we've looked at it very briefly in the New Testament and the Old Testament. But what does it mean in your relationship with God, because you're just so cherished and loved by him? Let's just bow our heads before we come sing our last song. Father, we thank you for your word and the way it builds us up. Thank you how it gives us a healthy theology, as it were, of who you are. Help us to think of this word blessing in a biblical context and not in our casual and weak and frail cultural context. Help us to see the strength and the vitality of this word. Help us to see the significance of how it is based on the strength of our relationship with you, not in the world in which we live. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a good hymn to finish with, Tell Out My Soul.